joyful noise. Amen. Grace to you and peace, brothers and sisters in Christ, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been another one of those weeks. One of those weeks requiring a word of hope. Russia's invading the Ukraine. The stock market's in a tizzy. Inflation is higher than it has been in a long time. Here at home, we get word of the death of one of our members. And for me, two of my friends from seminary posted recently that they have cancer. I don't know exactly how y'all's weeks have gone, but we could probably all use a word of hope. And the story of Jesus going up on the mountain, along with Peter and James and John, that can probably serve up some hope, right? Up on the mountain they go to pray after a tough week. A little mountain prayer retreat could be just the right medicine. Only they get more than just a quiet weekend away, don't they? First, Jesus gets all white and flashy. And before long, it's a veritable party with the ghosts of Moses and Elijah suddenly appearing. Right on, Peter says. Let's set up some tents and make it a camp out. I mean, the Bible doesn't say anything about the use of substances per se, but I really wonder if there was more than praying going on at this little retreat. After all, there is a cloud in the story, too. And the cloud threatens to put a damper on things. Campouts aren't usually made more fun when it starts to rain. But this cloud doesn't bring rain. Rather, a voice. A voice similar to the one some say they heard that day when Jesus was baptized by John. This is my son. Listen to him. So is this transfiguration story one of hope? I think so. I mean, Jesus shows us that life doesn't have to be all bad news. It's not all about COVID numbers and countries at war. Sometimes when we least expect it, Jesus takes us on a trip that reminds us that God's plans and God's purposes are what really guides our world. And the little story about the father whose epileptic son is in danger of being overcome by a demon that has hold of him, well, that's just the confirmation. Confirmation that hope will prevail. Teacher, I beg you, he's my only son. The man calls out to Jesus. And just so you know that Jesus himself isn't immune to the frustrations and the pains of this world, he responds with words that condemn not this man, not his son who is suffering, but Jesus, it seems, condemns the systems of our world that would allow innocent people to go without proper care and compassion to the extent that a child is dashed upon the rock. Where Jesus is, their hope is as well. Hope for an end to the suffering of evil. Hope that no matter what evil has hold of this world, the voice of the chosen one will bring wholeness. The story of Jesus and the strange and wonderful things that befell his life and our world because of him are indeed the source of hope for all of us who look to God for reassurance. Be we Ukrainian citizens or the family of our brother who has died. Jesus was unique. Not because his face shone and his clothes became dazzling white. not because he held court with the likes of Moses and Elijah, but because he chose to live for the sake of others. He lived for the sake of that man whose only son. He lived for the sake of my friends and yours with cancer. He lived for you in whatever highs and lows you've been going through this week, this year, this lifetime. Sometimes it seems that we focus too much on Jesus' death, that it's the death of Jesus that forgives our sins, promises eternal life. But we should probably think about how the life of Jesus impacted people's lives. And how we, if we truly believe that we say that Jesus is living today, resurrected and loose in the world, then it's Jesus who continues to make a difference in our lives and in the lives of people around us. When Paul writes to the people of Corinth, he's writing to a people who have not had a really good time of things lately. Internal struggles and arguments within the church have caused people to question the Jesus of whom Paul speaks. If Jesus is so great, they say, how come we still have troubles? How come we still have pain that we deal with on a regular basis? But Paul cuts to the heart of the matter. Since we have such a hope, Paul writes, we act with great boldness. We do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things, and we commend ourselves to God. You see, it's worth noting that Paul was not the only popular preacher in Corinth in the first century. There were others. People who talked about Jesus. People who said things like, Jesus helps those who help themselves. Jesus wants you to be successful. Jesus will reward you if you just try a little harder. And these were preachers that some in Corinth thought that everyone should listen to. After all, it fit with the way of the rest of the world works. Good things come to those who try harder. And things aren't that much different today. Times like we've been living through, times of war and political unrest, times of pandemic and uncertainty about the future, times when we hear of friends who are battling cancer and friends who have died. It'd be really easy to hitch our wagon to a preacher who promises the glory of the mountaintop, the dazzling presence of a Jesus whose face and clothes shine like the sun. And I suppose once in a while we need to see that Jesus. We need to know that Jesus is the Lord who communes with the likes of Moses and Elijah, because he really is the God of the universe who can snap his fingers and make the earth shake. But God rejects our notion to build us some tents and stay there on the mountaintop. God calls us to listen to Jesus, to follow him down the mountain and into the lives of people who are suffering, people like the man and his son who is tormented. The trouble of the world, be it Paul's world or Jesus or our own, is that it always wants us to cower behind a veil of caution. It wants us to take the safe route. It wants us to hide our hope because hope is vulnerable. Hope is risky. Hope is uncertain. But the man with the epileptic son did not hide. He came right up to Jesus and begged him to look at his son, see his boy, to put his face in the pain and agony of what the demons of our world can do. And Jesus did look. Jesus does see the boy with eyes not veiled by caution or cowardice. Thank God for the people of Ukraine who refuse to hide, but rather curse those who wish to invade their homeland, even though they know that it will be the last words they speak. Thank God for all who stand up to the power of wealth and might. Thank God for those who unveil the vulnerability of freedom and justice. Those of us who have lost loved ones to cancer or COVID or a car crash or simply just because the person we love got old and died, let us refuse to hide our faces behind a veil. Let us refuse to buy into the idea that those who are perfect will be loved by God. Let us refuse to think that God only accepts the strong or the powerful or the rich or the beautiful. Rather, let us, as Paul writes, act with great boldness to declare that even though sickness and death in this life might and will do its worst, yet with unveiled faces, we will see the glory of the Lord. What the world needs is a word of hope. Hope that shines in our faces the way it did on Jesus on the top of that mountain. Hope that shines in our lives as it did in Moses as he pressed on to lead God's people to the promised land. Hope that shone on a father's face when he beheld the life of his boy made whole. We could all use a word of hope right about now. Thanks be to God that hope is here today and ours to share with the world.